Amen, church. Amen. Oh, yeah. If they had the energy, I'd let them do that again. That is incredible. Welcome to Battlefield Baptist Church. Amen. Amen. Now, you're going to have to talk to me this morning, because if you don't talk to me, we might hear you here all day. See, when you talk to your pastor while he's preaching, what he does is he talks faster. And the faster he talks, the sooner you go home. Amen. Now, I grew up, and last time, we were here 3 or 4 years ago. My name is Don Baer. My wife, Becky. Becky, if you'd stand, please, for me. I look better when she's beside me. We just celebrated 48 years of marriage. I just confess, she's a blessed woman. Amen? Yeah, see, she'll tell you. And doing that, I don't remember being single. She robbed me out of the cradle. I was a baby when I got married. But it's been good, and I'm glad she's my partner in life, goes with me everywhere I go. Someone asked me, does Becky go everywhere? And I said, well, I sure hope so, because I'm directionally challenged. Someone would say to me, which way is north? How many would raise your hand and you say, you know which way is north, raise your hand. Okay, I have got no idea which way is north. I got no idea. Someone will say, well, you go north 3 miles and turn west. And I'm going, just don't do that to me. Go down to Burger King, make a right, and go by Chick-fil-A, and then you're your spot you want to be. We're your missionaries to Philippines, Southeast Asia, and we get a chance to travel the nations for Christ with Filipinos that God is raising up to lead the Philippines to take the gospel out. We're going to be back in the Philippines in November. We get a chance in November to be in Bangkok, Thailand, to work with some of our missionaries. Then we're going to go into Phnom Penh, Cambodia, spend some time with our missionaries. And then we're going to Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam to be some of our missionaries. And then we'll eventually end up back in Manila. And when we're back in Manila, we host what we call a mission fest. Now, I tell you what, when the Filipinos have a fest, they have a fest. And we'll bring about 700 to 800 people together. They'll all come dressed up in garb from different countries, and it is crazy. And they'll parade across the stage, and we just have a great time eating food from around the world, and then we challenge them in the area of missions. Would they give their life to Jesus Christ to take the gospel somewhere to a place that people have never heard the name of Jesus? And they're saying, I will go. And we get a chance to partner with them and be helping them and assess them and equip them and be a part of sending them out. And you're part of our ministry. So we are here today to say thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness of giving to missions, that people like Becky and I and others that you support can take the gospel around the world to make a difference. Last time I was here, I told you that you got to talk to me when we preach. And so you can't just sit back and be comfortable. You got to talk. Now, I grew up in church and people talked to the pastor while he was preaching. We had a lady sit over here, and she would start humming. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And she'd get warmed up, and the pastor would start spitting and snorting. It was great. She would get going. And then the deacons were like the amen people. Any deacons here this morning? Deacon, raise your hand. Come on. I'm a deacon. A couple of you? Okay. Say amen, deacons.
Amen.
There we go. Amen. Deacons are the amen people. Now, I grew up in church, and I admit some things that happened in church to this day I don't understand. But we had a gentleman that used to sit right down here. His wife would sit next to him, and the preacher would get warmed up. I mean, he would get going and preaching. And this guy would go, shake that bush, brother. Now, as a kid, I had no idea what that meant, but it sounded good. So try it with me. Shake that bush. Here we go. Shake that bush, brother. Now, some of you you can't sit like, you got to get into it. You got to get your shoulders up, your arms up. You can't relax at church. So you ready? Let's try it. Now, come on. We've got to get some energy going here, and we're going to shake that bush. Here we go. Shake that bush, brother. Okay? And what that does is I will speed up and talk so fast, you'll think, man, we just got started, and he's done. Maybe. Okay? We'll see how it works. I'm going to go up here.
Go shake that bush.
Okay, let's do it. Okay? I got a fear of heights, and so man, oh man, this is awesome today. I had the privilege this year to be in the Emirates in Dubai, in which we have a church planter in Dubai doing a tremendous work there. God is at work in the Emirates, and we're thankful for that. But I had a chance to go to the 148th floor of the Burj Khalif. And you get on this elevator. It's air pressured elevator. It's the fastest elevator in the world. And you go up to the 148th floor in less than a minute. You get off the elevator and there's glass. And I'm pinned to the wall. Right here. I need something steady. And so after a few minutes to get my equilibrium, I begin to walk out. And I begin to get closer and closer. And I finally get to the edge where the glass is at. And I kind of get to the edge and I begin to peek over. And all you see is desert. But God's at work. God's at work and making an impact. And we're thrilled to be a part of what God's doing around the world. And we're thankful for churches like Battlefield Baptist that you love missions and you love missionaries and you support our ministry. So thank you from the bottom of our heart of being a part of that. You have your Bibles, you have your device, if you would, please. Let's turn to the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, if you would, please. You're going to start in Thessalonians. I'm going to get there. So you're going to think, is this guy going to ever get to Thessalonians? I will, okay? But I'm going to start in Acts, okay? So Acts chapter 16, you're in Thessalonians. So go there because you want to be there when I get there. So in Acts 16, the Apostle Paul is praying. He's asking the Lord, God, where do you want me to take the gospel? Where do you want me to go? I'm praying for a place to go. And so he says, I'm going to go over here. And the Spirit says, no, I don't want you going there. And so I think he's a little confused about where to go. So I'm going to go over here. And the Spirit says, no, I'm not going to go. I want you to go over there. Don't want you there right now. And so Paul finally waits and says, okay, Lord, I need to know where you want me to go. And Acts chapter 16 is a book what we call the Macedonian Call. Paul has a vision of a man from Macedonia. And this man says to the Apostle Paul, would you come to Macedonia and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with us? And the Apostle Paul says, yes, I will go. And Paul goes to Thessalonica. He plants a church in Thessalonica. It's not an easy place to plant a church, anti-God, anti-Christian, but he plants a church there and becomes under great persecution there. In fact, the Bible would say, and the men of the town would say, this man has come and he has turned our world upside down. And church, may I say to you and remind you, that is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It takes someone's life and it turns it upside down. Okay, that which was dead is now alive. He changes lives, and lives are being changed, and the community is being changed, and people don't like that, and so they plot to kill the Apostle Paul. The church, the early church there says, Paul, we don't want you to be killed here. We want you to sneak you out of town, and we want you to continue to carry the gospel, and so that's what they do. They sneak the Apostle Paul out of Thessalonica. He goes to the next community, and guess what he does? He plants a church. He spreads the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he continues doing that throughout his ministry. Now, 3 years has passed, and Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, pins this letter back to the church at Thessalonica. And he says to the church, he says, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, under the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a greeting that Paul uses throughout Scripture. In fact, it is a greeting used in Asia. I will get a note from our missionary Aaron, who is in Nepal. Aaron is doing a wonderful job in Nepal, reaching not only in Kathmandu, but God now is allowing him to go out into the villages and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Aaron will report, give me things that are going on. Aaron is out one day in a village, and he wants to share the gospel in his village. He's met by the leader of the village, and the leader says to Aaron, you're not welcome here. We don't want you or your God here. We want you to leave. And so Aaron was a little confused, but what do? You say, okay, and you begin to leave. And as he began to leave, there was a gentleman in the tribe that came to the leader and said, hey, maybe he can help us. And the leader goes, what do you mean maybe he can help us? He said, well, our cows are sick and our goats are sick. What if we ask this guy to pray to his God to heal our flocks? Now, when's the last time that's happened, Pastor? Yeah, yet. So what does Aaron do? Aaron says, okay. And so he sends me pictures. Here's Aaron, and he's got goats all around. He's laying hands on goats, and he's laying hands on the village cows, and he's praying for them, and God heals the goats and the cows. Now you're saying, do you believe that? I absolutely believe that. Because now that God has done that, guess what Aaron gets to do? They welcome to the village. Come, share about your God. He shares with them Jesus Christ. He leads the village to Christ. And in doing so, now he goes back and he's discipling them, allowing them to grow in their Christian walk. That's what our God does. And that's what Paul is doing here. Paul is being thankful to talk about the grace of God. And so Aaron will write to me and he'll say, Pastor Don, grace from our Lord Jesus Christ and peace be with you. I love reading his first paragraph. It's like I'm getting a letter from Paul. He's writing to me and he wants to share what God is doing. That's what Paul is doing here. We give thanks for you in verse number 2. To our God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. I've entitled this message, The Three Ingredients of a Mission-Minded Church. You have your notes? I love your notes. You can write things down and keep them there. Now, here's the key to the notes. They say, and Pastor, these statistics are discouraging, but they say the average church member who just sits and listens by Friday can only remember 10% of what the pastor talked about on Sunday. I tried that out at my church. On Wednesday nights when we met for a prayer meeting, I would preach part of my Sunday morning message, the parts that I didn't get the chance to get to, on Wednesday night. And so Wednesday night when we gathered together, I'd ask the people what we talked about Sunday. It was discouraging because I was a terrible speaker because so few of them could remember what we talked about 4 days ago. But if you take notes, they say it jumps up to 25%. So I want you to jump from 10 to 25% today. So jot some things down. Not because of what I've got to say is important, because I want you to remember what God has to say, the three ingredients of a mission-minded church. The first ingredient he talks about to us is found in verse number 3, where Paul remembers three things about this church, three things that he's heard about this church. The first is their work of faith. Their work of faith. The Bible says that your works are produced by your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, don't misunderstand what Paul is saying here. Paul is not saying that your works saved you. But because of your salvation and because of your faith, it has affected your works. You and I know the scripture. For by grace are you saved through faith. Amen? It's not of yourself. It's what? It's a gift of God, not of works, because you and I would boast about it. So my salvation is when I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I trust him by faith. I put my faith in him. God, I call on you. I'm a sinner. I'm in need of you and what you've done for me. Boy, the choir, tremendous job, choir. I want to jump up and sing with you as you sang that piece because he did pay it all, amen. All to him I owe. Sin, what left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. I can't do that. Only one person can do that, and that's Jesus Christ. That's when I put my faith and my trust in him. But my salvation affects the way I live. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we now are his workmanship. We have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Paul commends this church for their works, their work of faith. Paul would later say to the church, you're working out your salvation. He's not talking about I'm working for my salvation, but because of my salvation, it affects the way I live my life. And church, when God comes in, he takes that which was dead and he makes it alive. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away and behold, all things have become new. He changes my life. He changes my attitude. He changes my direction. And Paul commends this church for their work of faith. And then he commends them for their labor of love. I love this right here. You and I as believers, you and I are motivated to serve. We're not motivated to serve out of duty. We're not motivated to serve out of pressure from someone saying, hey, you got to do this. We serve because we love God. I am motivated by love. Now, Becky and I have been married like forever, and I like to do things for her. And I'm motivated to do them, not because I have to. I empty the dishwasher at the house. I vacuum at our house because my wife says I do such a wonderful job. She's tried to hook me into dusting, but that's not going to happen, and do that. But I want to do things for her because I love her. And in marriage, that should be our motivation. I don't have to do this. I'm not necessarily even obligated to do this. But I want to do this for her because I love her. And church, that's the motivation this church has, needs to be the motivation of Battlefield Baptist Church, is we serve because we love God. We serve because we love one another. We should be known as a church that just loves people. That drives us. Not only do we love each other, but we love people outside these four walls. We want to love people to Jesus Christ. I've never met anybody that was hated to Jesus. Doesn't happen. But I've met a lot of people who are loved to Jesus. And Paul commends this church for it. They're motivated by their love for Jesus Christ. And then the third ingredient, he says, is their patience in hope. This idea of patience and hope has... They're a church that has endurance. They're a church that has a confident expectation that God is at work. They're a church that no matter what's going on around them, that my hope is built on Jesus Christ and Him alone. My hope is not in government. My hope is not in other people. My hope is in Jesus Christ. I'll never forget Peter. Peter's one of our missionaries to Thailand. Peter's a great story because Peter graduated from Bible college knowing God had called him to be a missionary. But he said, I sat down one day and was talking to God. You ever sit down and talk to God? We always feel like we've got to bow our heads and close our eyes, but just sit down just talking to God. He said, I'm talking to God one day, and I asked God. I say to God, God, I know you've laid on my heart to be a missionary. But the village I come from and my family are all lost. God, would you allow me to go back to my village in my province and start a church that I can win my family, and then I'll go to the mission field. So Peter feels like God has laid it on his heart. So Peter goes back to his village, his province, and he plants a church. I love the picture of the day he started his church. First Sunday. It's in a field. There's a table, four chairs, two here, and Peter. And the only people that showed up that first Sunday were his mom and dad. Both lost, of need of Christ. Those are the first two people that showed up for a service. Well, Peter didn't get discouraged. He just kept every week preaching, setting up more chairs, setting up more chairs, setting up more chairs. To make a long story short, over time, he led his family to Christ. He led his wife's family to Christ. He led a lot of his village to Christ, and he began to have the church grow, and he began to build a building, and they were reading regularly, and God was doing a work. And then in the midst of all of that, God allowed Peter to take a missions trip to Thailand. And Peter hadn't forgotten the commitment and the conversation he had with God. He just didn't think God was done with him where he was at yet. So he just went to the Thailand to make a visit to some missionaries there. And so when he got to Thailand, he said this, I looked around and I saw a people with no hope. And he said, right there, God spoke to me and said, this is where I want you. He went back home, resigned from his church, raised his support, and now is back in Thailand. He's planted a church. They've built a building. They're meeting regularly, and people are coming to Christ. Why? Because someone had hope and was willing to share it with somebody else. And Paul commends this church for their hope. Their hope is in Jesus Christ. And may I say to you, church, there are people in this area of the world that are in need of hope. And you and I have the hope. His name is Jesus Christ, and we need to share that message with them. Now, I want to continue on the passage of Scripture because Paul doesn't quit there. Paul now is going to show us, because these three ingredients were in the church, what takes place. So in verse number 5, Paul continues, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only." I love the way the gospel came. The gospel came in power. That word power is where we get our word dynamite. We're planting dynamite in people's hearts, and God will let it explode at the right time. And so he's given out the word of God and the Holy Spirit in much assurance. "As you know what kind of men we were among you for your sakes, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with the joy of the Holy Spirit, in so that he became examples to all of Macedonia and Achaia who believed." So this church came together. They're living out love. They're living out their faith. They're living out hope. And Paul commends them for that because the gospel came in and changed their lives. And in verse number 8, we see the results. When these ingredients are in the church, Paul says this, "For from you the word of the Lord sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but also in every place, that your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything." Church, listen. When these three ingredients, when faith and love and hope are mixed together within the church, and the church is living out their faith, they're motivated by love, they put their hope in Jesus Christ, it gives them a vision for the world. They look beyond themselves. Because of these three ingredients, the word of the Lord was sounded forth from this church. It literally means this. It means to sound forth. It means to blast. It means the sound of a trumpet. And you look back in history, and they would gather in the court, and they would blow the trumpets. And the people would gather, and they would make an announcement. And Paul's using that illustration here of the word of God sounding forth as if it's blasting out a trumpet. "Listen, we've got great news, something to share with you." And this is what this church had in their life. It has the idea of carrying the idea of rolling thunder. You get those storms. You've experienced them here. The storm comes up and those clouds begin to roll. The thunder begins to rumble, the lightning's flashing, and nothing's going to stop this storm, amen? It's just going to roll through. It's going to dump a lot of rain, and Paul says that's what the church does. So when these three ingredients are alive in the church is like a thunderstorm. It begins to roll, begins to make a difference. It makes an impact to those around them to make a difference. It has the idea of an echo. I grew up in the Northwest, up in the mountains of Oregon, the Blue Mountains, and you could stand in those valleys and you could go, "Hello, hello, 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 hello. Hello, 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 hello." It just carried an echo. This church today, hundreds of years ago, began to echo the message out. And guess what? Today, we hear the echo. Battlefield Baptist Church, you need to be a church. It's like a thunderstorm. It begins to roll. We're an echo. We want not the word of, only the word of God to be here, but to carry out, to make a difference. And notice what Paul says here. Paul says that this word went out, and it went out into Macedonia, Achaia, in every place. This church is living out Acts chapter 1, with that last command of Jesus before he left this earth, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me." You're going to receive power. It's going to come from the Holy Spirit. You're going to be witnesses unto me where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. That's what this church is doing. Macedonia, that's where they're at. That's their Jerusalem. Achaia, that's their Judea and Samaria. Every place is the uttermost place of the earth. And that's what God has called the church to do, to move forward. And I think my favorite definition of all the definitions I've come across, this idea of sounding forth, it has the idea of being a receiver and a transmitter. Now listen carefully. You come to church each week. You got a pastor. He married well in life. Megan takes care of him. Keep an eye. Amen.
Bush.
Yeah, shake that bush for a while.
For sure.
But every week he comes, he opens up his Bible, and he shares with you what God's laid on his heart. Amen?
Amen.
And you need to be thankful for that. Amen. A lot of churches don't have that today. They get a story, a news line, and then they go home. Your pastor opens up God's word and shares with you God's word.
Amen.
And you're here to receive it. Amen? The idea of the notes. He wrote me a note and said, hey, I do notes every week. So if you want to do notes, it'd be great. So I sent him some notes. You got them in your deal. Why does he do that? Because he wants you to receive the word today. He wants you to take it with you. And that's good. You want to come and you want to get it. So you're here, you're listening today. You're thinking, is this guy about to wrap up? And I'm going to go, I don't know, we'll just see. And so we're going to receive some things today. But that's only half of what we need to do. We're good at receiving, but this word sound forth means not only do I receive, but I also need to be a transmitter of the word. I need to give it out. So I come to church on Sunday morning, I come to Sunday school, I come to the worship hour, I receive, but when I leave these four walls and I get in my car and I go to home and I go to work and I hang out with my friends, am I now a transmitter of the word? And church, that's what we need to be. We need more transmitters. We've learned well how to receive. I remember in my church, I pastored my church, and one of the older gentlemen came to me one day. He's sitting down and he goes, well, pastor, you know, I grew up in church and I was told to do two things. I was told to come and give, and that's all I do. Rest is up to you. Well, thank you, Jesus. You know what I mean? But that's not the way it's supposed to be, is it?
Nope.
I come to church because I'm admonished in Scripture to come to church. Don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together. But while I'm here, I'm receiving God's word. I'm being instructed in God's word. But now I want to take it out and I want to be a receiver of the word. Well, how do I do that? That's where I want to just spend a few minutes. Is there a clock here? Oh, there is a clock right there. I see it. It needs to be a little bigger, okay? You got to work on that, okay? And do that. Because the pastor says he quits at 11 o'clock every week. Bang, 11 o'clock, he's done. I'm not sure I believe that, but okay.
11:05.
Oh, 11:05. Okay, 11:05. So I got time. So, preacher, how do we do that? How do we live out love, faith, and hope? How can we be the transmitter of the gospel? How can we do that? I want you to walk out with some things today. How do I do that? Well, let's start with the basics. First of all, it starts at home. Got to live out your faith, love, and hope in your home. Now, Dad, God wants you to lead in this area. If you're a single mom here today, you have the toughest job in the world. Bless you. But now you're that person that wants to lead this in your home. I want to live it out. I don't want to be that parent. I'm one way at church, and I'm one way at home. Does that make sense? I want to live out my faith. I'm motivated by love because I have a great hope in Jesus Christ. So I want to live it out in my home. It's got to begin there. I want my kids. The greatest gift you can pass on to your kids is your faith. Now, we're old enough. We got grandkids. Any grandparents here? Come on. Boy, great. I love grandparents because I'm a grandparent. Okay. Your grandkids are a reward, amen, for not killing your kids when they're growing up. Okay. That's the reward, okay? And you bring them in, don't you? You bring the grandkids in, and you spoil them, and then you send them home, amen? That's the joy. Now, my grandkids are getting old. I got a 25-year-old, I got a 21-year-old, and I got a 14-year-old. Now, you're thinking, you're not old enough for that, and you're absolutely right. I'm not. But it's wonderful. Yeah, yeah. It's wonderful. Listen, I have a responsibility to pass my faith on, to make a difference in their life. 2 years ago, my brother and his wife, they have what they call cousins camp, and they bring all their grandkids together. Well, our grandson happened to be in town, and they invited him to come along, which we were grateful, and they brought our grandson, and they all gathered together at my brother's house, and they do some fun things. But one night, they invited my mom, who's 89, to sit down with the great-grandkids and share her faith. She told her great-grandkids how she got saved. Grew up in Catholicism, knew about Jesus, but never realized Jesus died for her. She got to share with her grandkids. I'm saying to you, we have a responsibility to pass our faith on to our children. I pastored for many years. I think one of the hardest things that I would do is a funeral. And I would gather together with the family, and I would say to the family, hey, tell me about mom's faith. And it was always sad to me when they would say, well, you know, mom was a Christian. She didn't talk about it much, but she was a believer, and she went to church. And I would think to myself, what an opportunity we missed out on. I grew up, my dad talked about his faith all the time. Today, my dad's been gone. My dad died at 55. He's been gone how many years now? 40 years. Today, I could tell you my dad's story almost word for word. That's how much I heard it. What do you want to do? He wanted to pass his faith on. And that's how we do in our home. We talk about our faith. We talk about what Jesus changed my life. My dad was radically changed when he got saved. I mean, he was hell-bound for sure, and he encountered Christ, and Christ, man, changed his life completely. And our grandkids now need to hear those, know those stories. Well, what grandma like? Well, grandma knew Jesus, and she told us when she came to Jesus. We can share those stories. That's how it begins in the home. But I need to take my faith further than that. It needs to be lived out in my church. You be part of what God's doing in the church, involved here in the church. I need to be serving. Every church should have an ample supply of people to serve everywhere. Yet I go to churches and people will say to me all the time, well, we just can't get people to serve. We just can't get people to serve anymore. What's going on? Am I motivated by love? What Jesus Christ did for me on the cross because of his love, man, I got to serve. I got to do something. I think the hardest thing for Becky and I right now is we're a member of Antioch Bible Baptist Church in Kansas City, Missouri, and we're never there. That's the hardest thing for us because we want to serve. We want to be involved in ministry. We want to do things because we love Jesus. And so when I'm there, here's what I've done. I've taken on the ditch. The ditch. The ditch that runs through the church property and in my mind is a mess. So I break the weed eater out. It takes me about 4 to 5 hours to weed eat the ditch. That's what I do when I'm home. I'll go down and weed eat the ditch. Why do I do that? Because I love my church. I love my Lord. I'm not going to be there on Sunday to be a greeter. I can't work in the kids area. I can't work in Awana. I can't do those things because I'm just not there. But when I am there, I want to serve. And church, that needs to be our heart. Our kids and our grandkids need to see that. And you're a grandparent here today, and I realize, listen, grandparent, you cannot probably do what you used to do. I'm finding that out. The older I get, my mind says you can do it, and my body goes, you went and try, it ain't going to happen. Okay? So I can't do some of the things I used to do, but I can still weed eat a ditch. I can help out wherever I can along the way and do that, but I want to be a person who serves. A lot of you still go to work every day. You need to live out your faith. Love and hope at work. Now, your boss has hired you to work. So I don't have to carry my family Bible to church to work, and I don't have to carry the tie that says Jesus saves to work, but I can live out my faith. And here's how I do it. Every one of you go to work on Monday. Here's what's going to happen. Someone's going to come to you sometime in the day and say to you, what'd you do this weekend? And what do you say? Well, I watched the Chiefs lose again. You know, I mowed my yard. I did this. I went out and did that. I went here. I went there. What would happen at work on Monday morning if someone would come to you and say, hey, what'd you do this weekend? And you'd say, you know, I went to church. This real strange guy who's a missionary from the Philippines. He was really different, but he talked a lot about Jesus, and we had a great time in church on Sunday. I haven't been too preachy. I'm not overbearing, but I'm living out my faith. What have I just told this guy? Hey, he goes to church on Sunday. He knows Jesus, or at least he's not afraid to talk about Jesus. How about going to school? Stand up for my faith. This is where I'm. You see what I'm saying? This is kind of where the rubber meets the road. And I want to live out my faith. I want to do that. I want to be a church that's mission-minded. I want to be a church member that gives faithfully to my church. I support my church. Becky and I tithe. We get through our missions what we take for our personal funds every month. We tithe on what we get. Then we turn around and do what? We give to missions. We do it once a month. That's when we get it. We give it once a month. We want to support what our church is doing, not only in the facility that we're in, but I want to support churches or missions around the world. So we give to missions. Why do I do that? Do I have to? You know, really, I don't have to. We learn in Sunday school, I do it to prove my love. God, I love you. All I've got is yours. Nothing I own is mine. It all belongs to you. So actually, I'm just kind of giving you back a little bit of what you've given to me. And I'm asking you, I'm living by faith now, God, because I'm what's left. I need you to stretch. I need you to make it happen so I can live on what's left because I'm honoring you and what I'm doing. What am I doing? I'm living out my faith. You're going to be challenged here a couple weeks, right? You're going to get a card. You're going to ask, what can I do for missions this coming year? I'm going to challenge you this year. If you are already giving to missions, thank you, Jesus. Could I give more this year? I don't know. I'm going to pray about that. Can I do more this year? I've never given to missions. This is my year. I'm going to start. Step out. God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to begin giving missions. Some of you come and you've never given your tithe to the church, to the Lord. Well, this year I'm going to step out by faith and begin that process. What am I doing? I'm taking steps of faith. I'm living out what I say I believe. I'm asking God to bless me, to meet my needs, to stretch me, to grow me. I told the Sunday school class, I believe God's got a bigger shovel than you do. You're not going to outgive God. Now, God may not bless you more money, but he may bless you with some good health. He may bless you, your car last a little bit longer. He may bless you in other ways along the way. He may bless you with some great kids that you're raising up and God's been so good. But I want to be found faithful. I want to live out what I say I believe. So maybe you're here this morning. We've talked a lot about Jesus because we believe he is the answer for our world. And maybe you're here today and you've never put your trust in him. Today would be a great day. Just say, God, I know who I am. I know I'm a sinner. I know you died for me. I confess my sin to you and I want to invite you to my heart. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Maybe that's where I need to begin today. Start there. Maybe today it's for you as a believer to say, well, I need to stretch my faith. I need to grow my faith in such a way that I'm living it out in a real vibrant way to make a difference. That what I do not only here at Battlefield Baptist, but I believe now I'm making an impact around the world. As our missionaries go out in Southeast Asia, and you've got missionaries in Africa, and you've got missionaries in Central America and South America, you've got missionaries around the world. What if this coming year we could grow that team even more? Maybe we could help them even more in what we're doing because we believe that our God is the answer for the world and we need to send more out. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we're so thankful that you loved us and then you choose to use us. Father, today I thank you for Battlefield Baptist Church. I thank you for what they've done, but Father, may they not look back to what they've done, but God, may they look forward to what they can do to make a difference for the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, I pray for those that would be here today that don't know you in relationship. They know all about you, but they don't have never put their trust and faith in you. God, I would pray today they would take that step of faith to say, yes, I want to call on him. I want to invite him to my heart and my life. Maybe there are believers here today that would say, I need today just to commit to live up my faith in my home. Maybe today's that day I need to step up and say, hey, whatever I can do at my church, I want to be involved in my church. And then could it be today you'd call someone to be a missionary? They would say, I'm willing to go. Not just to give him my finances, but I want to give him myself to the Lord for me to be used of him. God, you know each heart that's here. You know the need that's here. So I'm going to ask you just to speak to us through your word. I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.